Hello, and welcome back to another Back to Better podcast episode. Liz Fidler-Morgan here, and I have got podcast producer Abby with me.
Hello.
And this month's book is called Die with Zero. It's a pretty morbid title, but...
Morbid title, but not a morbid concept.
No, and it doesn't mean, you know, make sure the goal is to like run out of money by the time you die. It means hit a balance of zero, not, you know, don't hit zero before you die or don't whatever, but it's one of those books that I really, really want you guys to read, because I feel like if you listen to some of the things that Abby and I say or some of the core concepts of the book, it's not going to make sense. We cannot explain it as well as Bill Perkins.
No, no. He did a great job.
Did you listen to the audiobook?
I did, yeah.
Oh, it was so good. So full transparency, I tried to get him to come on the episode that I, when I interview someone, and his assistant basically emailed me back in a very, very nice way and said, well, if you actually read the book, you would realize that there's no chance in hell that Bill is going to do this, because he only does things that align with his life experience, what he wants to do, and he ain't coming on this book or on this podcast. I'm like, yeah, no, I really didn't think he
would.
But
it was worth a shot.
Yeah. And so basically he talks about rethinking your relationship with money, time, and experiences, and just have a more intentional and fulfilling life.
Which when I started listening to this, I was out in the deer stand. It was right before hunting season kicked off. So I was spending my time bow hunting. It's like, I'm doing everything that I want to do. And everything he was saying was just ringing so true with what was happening, like in real time. It was kind of freaky, not going to lie, but like, it's just such a dang good book.
It is such a good book. And because he talks about, you know, balancing how neither the ant nor the grasshopper is right. Mm-hmm. Right? One of them just works too much, doesn't enjoy life. One of them just hoards away, doesn't enjoy it. But, you know, we're going to talk about some of the exercises and applications that he shares. But basically, it's shifting your mindset around wealth and thinking of it as your goal is not to accumulate as much money and stuff and whatever that might look like, but it's really about maximizing your total life experiences. And, you know, someone reading this in your 20s, in your 30s, in your 40s, it's going to hit so differently. And this isn't like when I first started reading this book, I'm like, well, this is for millionaires, right? This does not apply to me, or this doesn't, you know, but it's just a pause. And it's, again, what do you want most? What do you want later? And in every chapter, he interviews someone or talks, he doesn't interview them, but he talks about them. And, you know, one lady, he shares a story about a woman that she was all over the newspapers that she, you know, worked this XYZ job. No one had any idea how much money she had. She worked until she was 87, mm-hmm. like 50 hours a week as a secretary at a law firm. And then when she died, she left $9 million to some charity, like a library. And everyone was like, oh my God, she's so great. And he's like, what? like what? Really? I mean, if that was her goal. But then he also talks about, in that same chapter, he talks about the importance of charitable giving. Like, if you're going to give to a nonprofit or whatever it is, the sooner that these organizations get the money, the sooner they can start doing good with it. So a plan to just like, when I die, I'll donate. And he's like, when you're dead, you can't do anything. So do it while you're living. Do it while you can. And I mean, if she had given away $1 million a year, she would probably still have had money if she started giving away $1 million a year, because it's still just accruing more and making right. more. And it gets to be a point where don't work a single day past, you know, what you need to. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the same thing with, you know, if you look at it that way, you know, someone works their whole life and they have X amount in their 401k or whatever. And, you know, you worked an extra 2 years closer to retirement just to have this dollar amount, mm-hmm. or whatever it might be. So he's like, find that peak and then stop adding to it and start taking away to it. It's just, you have to figure out where in your life that peak is going to fall.
Right. And it's a hard thing to figure out.
Yeah. And obviously nobody knows when they're going to die. Nobody knows like when that's going to be. But he also shared, you know, just shifting that mindset about wealth. So like money, it's a tool to be used for creating memorable experiences, not just a safety net or a legacy. And so that optimal spending timeline and when to prioritize your spending. So for example, if life is divided into buckets, right? So you have your bucket in your 20s, a bucket in your 30s, a bucket in your 40s. These are all buckets. Each stage of life has unique experiences that you can only fully enjoy at that time. I went and I climbed a mountain. Which mountain did I?
The one in Colorado this fall, right?
Yeah. Mount Elbert. Yes. I just climbed the tallest mountain in Colorado.
Climbed a mountain and turned around.
Climbed a mountain and I turned around. Guess what? Did that in my mid-30s. It was literally, I mean, it was worse than, I mean, I ran a full marathon. It was more grueling than that. And I did it on very little training other than like pure grit and like, I'm going to punish myself for this. In 5 or 10 years, I will not be able to just do that.
Right.
Right? Like in your late teens, like a teenage boy could probably just struggle through a half marathon, right? Like put his mind to it and just like do it. You start getting older and you can't do that anymore. And so it's like that has a bucket list, right? Now, if you take really good care of yourself, like you can probably keep climbing mountains into like future decades.
But it's not going to get easier.
It's not going to get easier. And to do it without training for it, like that has a window. And so it's...
Well, and to do it with the people specifically that you went with.
Yes.
Like your guys' lives are only going to get busier.
Exactly. And, you know, another great analogy would be like party buses, right? We're in the Midwest. So let's use this as an example. I hate to make this sound illegal, but my late teens and early 20s, we were big party bus people. It's a Minnesota rural rite of passage, right? Someone rents a bus for $300 to $500. Everyone chips in $20. It's for a birthday, a bachelorette party, New Year's Eve.
Yeah, I did one on New Year's Eve last year.
Yeah.
I'm getting too old for
it. Exactly. I'm getting too old for party buses. I did one on New Year's Eve 2 years ago for a bachelorette party. I am getting too old for party buses. Like everyone is taking... What is it? The schnapps, the apple schnapps and caramel schnapps. And you put them together and you drink out of both at the same time for a shot. Apple pucker, whatever. It's caramel apple shot. Everyone's drinking out of the same container. I'm like, this is disgusting.
Yeah, we did that with vodka Red Bulls.
There's only so much like 2000s rap and the flashing lights. And then like, oh, we're going to go to this bar. And everyone goes in, gets a drink. You get back on the bus. There's a Jello shot, like all of a sudden sandwiches come out of a cooler, like a clown car. Like, yeah. Where do these things keep coming from? Everyone's wearing some sort of costume, like an ugly sweater. There's a theme. Like, I am 35 years old. And like, unless it's like my sister's bachelorette party, I don't know, maybe because my youngest brother is 20, like... Maybe he'll have a 21st on a party bus.
You got like two good party buses left in you.
I really doubt I'm invited to my little brother's 21st birthday party bus if he has one. Matt, I would love to come. I'll even buy a round of drinks. Like that's the perk of having sisters that are older, like whatever. But that life experience, not to say like, oh, well, I'll go on one again in 10 years. Like, nope, that's dwindling. So it's like, well, here we are. So you know what? Spend your 20s going on party buses because you are not going to want to do it.
Yeah, it's brutal. The next day is the worst part. Like in the moment, I can still rally through. But the next day, our New Year's Eve one last year, it was a bunch of grown adults heading down to the Minnesota Wild game. And most of my husband's family was on that bus because his cousin was the one that organized it. Well, we do Christmas Day, New Year's Day with his family. So we're all still hungover as hell from this party bus. And it's like, oh, what have we done?
Why did we do this?
And guess what? We are not doing it this year because we all learned our lesson.
Yeah. And then, you know, whether it's that or like there's an episode about this on How I Met Your Mother. Where he's like, things you are too old to do in your 30s. And it's like, crash on a friend's couch, mm-hmm. right? Like, hey, I'm going to be, you know, staying so-and-so. It's like, just get a hotel. Or yep. helping your friends move. Guess what? I'm in my mid-30s. Like, I have very few friends that are going to take a whole weekend. It's like, if I have a friend that texts me and says, hey, we're moving. Can you help us? Like, my husband is the guy with the truck. Like, I've started telling him, like, you know what? They can borrow our enclosed trailer. That's a really nice, friendly thing that we do is let people borrow our enclosed trailer. But no, we are not spending. I mean, again, and you got to help people out and you got to whatever. Mm-hmm. But like, he works all week during the week. We got shit going on the weekend. Like, I'm sorry. At that point, when we're hitting this age, hire a moving company. Yep. Like, I can't do it. You can't ask your friends to throw their back out, lifting your couch with a sleeper sofa in it, like the one I'm sitting on, which granted, Brent did call his brother and his friend Tyler, and they helped us move this from his aunt and uncle's house. But at some point, like, you gotta, like, but again, that's about these life experiences. That's
maximizing your money. You're mm-hmm. in your 30s. You can probably afford to hire movers now.
Yep, exactly. And like what your time looks like. But so the whole like die with zero mentality is, you know, investing in memory dividends like Dropbox or Google Drive or whatever, where you pay for monthly storage mm-hmm. to have that stuff. Facebook, Instagram, whatever it might be, you can look back on those memories and then they are a lasting thing. It's turning an experience into a tangible thing that you can look back on.
Yep.
Shutterfly had it right when they made their photo books. And
yeah.
Then another huge thing that I took away from this book was they interviewed a woman, or one of the stories was about her, that she got pregnant in, I don't know if it was her late teens, early 20s, something like that. Single mom, was raising her kids, and her parents, you know, for whatever reason, and it's not their responsibility. Like, that's the thing. Like, I'm not saying that they did wrong because of this, but his story was like, they didn't help her out. They didn't help her out financially. They didn't help her, you know, whatever. But then when she was 49, when she got through it and she was comfortably living probably lower middle class.
I think her, she got remarried as well.
Yep. And so she was, you know, 49, comfortably living. Her kid or kids or whatever it was made it off to college. Like, she really, really, really struggled in her 20s. Her parents left her and her siblings each $150,000 or something like that. And I think that was because like the total added up to like some sort of like taxable, like she suspected that there was more money, but like that's what her and her siblings each got in addition to whatever. And the example was not that she was ungrateful, not that she was whatever, but she's like, okay, they gave me $150,000 at the age of 49, 10% of that, $15,000. She was like, if they had given me $15,000 in my early 20s, when I was trying to put myself to school and I could have used that either for tuition or just daycare mm-hmm. for whatever, or I could have not had to work a night shift or whatever. She's like, the 10% of that 2 decades prior would have made such an impact on her life.
That would have been a life-changing amount of money. That would have
been a life-changing amount of money rather than her parents waited until she died or until they died and then gave it to her. And she's like, now I'm 49. Thanks, I guess. Like, I want this money, but like 10% of this 20 years ago, 30 years ago would have been so much more life-changing. Mm-hmm. And that's what he talks about is like, you know, die with zero. Well, what about your kids? There's multiple chapters on like, but what about the kids?
I think he mentions it in every chapter. Yes,
because he gets so much criticism from it because they think that he's saying, spend all your money. Don't, you know, screw your kids. It's your money. And he's like, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, give it to them when they can enjoy it.
Yes.
Start giving it away. Don't leave a plan to leave it to them in their will, in the will. Give it to them now, whatever mm-hmm. it might be. And if that means, you know, hey, we helped you out with your down payment or whatever. And I, again, when I'm first reading this book, I feel like we're doing a bad job of explaining like how this really can apply to everyday people.
This is a good lesson to read the book.
Read the book because I feel like I'm making it sound like it's only applicable to people that have millions of dollars when it's really not. It's just those are the really big concepts. I do not have
millions of dollars and it's applicable to me.
Yes. And so I think that if anyone does criticize it, like, well, what about the kids? What about, you know, leave this for them? And his whole point is give it away while you can or help them out while you can. Like, what are you waiting for? Mm-hmm. Now, yes, there's compound interest, there's da, 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 da. But it makes sense to maximize those life experiences. And, you know, he had his college roommate I don't think they were still together in college. I think it was right after college, his friend that went backpacking through Europe for 3 months. And he was like, I, at the time, thought he was the dumbest guy ever. Cause he's like, he could barely afford it. He, you know, whatever. And he's like, literally within 2 years, we were on level playing field. We had the same amount of money in our bank accounts. We had the same amount of jobs on our resume. We had the same careers, but he spent 3 months in Europe and I didn't. Mm-hmm. Like, again, it everything is looked at that way. And it's like, when you look at those life experiences of, oh my gosh, like, well, what's the worst that could happen or whatever? Like, if you take a risk in business or if you take a risk in life, I mean, yeah. Spoiler alert, Abby and I are working on something really big. And again, what if it fails? Oh, well, we tried it.
We tried.
Then we aren't wondering. We aren't, you know.
We pivot, we turn it into something else.
We turn it into something else. Or we laugh about the time that we thought we were going to get rich.
Yeah, it's fine.
We're not going to get rich. No. But it'd be cool if we did. Everything has kind of a shelf life and you have to decide, like, spending an investment in happiness or spending an investment in, like, how shared experiences can benefit so many others. I mean, part of it, we bought this rental property, right? And I keep using it as an example. I'm sure you're like, we get it. You bought a rental property.
It's a good example. Place,
blah, 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 blah. But it's a good example. And, you know, we're starting to get the schedule. We're starting to figure out, like, when it's going to be available for rent. And right now, like I was just sharing with Abby, our plan to also enjoy it, right? It's that die with zero mentality, like enjoy your life experiences. What's it really costing? And our plan is to have it available for rent Tuesday or Wednesday through Sunday and see how many of those spots from like May to September we can get. And I do think there will be a lot of people who take a week-long vacation or a five-day vacation or an extended trip. And if it's booked two times a month, then that's better than four weekends, you know, like that's whatever. And then we get to enjoy it the other weekends. Or if it's booked all 4 weeks, sweet, that would be ideal. But like, we're going to keep it at the five night at first, and then we'll give that like a month. And then whatever doesn't get rented, then we'll drop it down to four nights, then we'll drop it down to three nights. And our plan is I'm going to clean it myself. The girls and I will drive up there on Sunday, and Brent, if he's available. And then we'll drive up there on Sunday. We'll be able to go fishing. We'll be able to go kayaking. We'll just enjoy Sunday at the lake. It's an hour away. And then we will clean it. I'll work from there on Monday. And again, my work these days, I mean, whether I meet with a bride or I, you know, order my flowers for an upcoming wedding or I do payroll or I work on social media posts.
Yeah, there's a lot that you can just kind of pick up and take with you.
There's a lot that I can just like mess around on the computer while the girls are fishing off the dock or whatever. We're there all day Monday. And then we get it ready to go, come back on Tuesday. And, you know, Brent will leave for work Monday morning. Maybe once in a while he'll take Monday off. Like, or, you know, I don't know what that looks like. But for now, while he's working, obviously a W-2 job, and I shouldn't say for now as in like, he's going to quit. But I just mean like,
that's what life looks like right now.
That's what life looks like right now, because the expense of us going up there on weekends, like a Friday night through a Sunday, A, we've got other stuff going on around here that I don't want to do that. And that, you know, I don't want to miss out on time with friends or whatever. But then that's our way of like also enjoying it, like looking for those opportunities that you can have your cake and eat it too.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
And so I think the die with zero mentality is like, for Brent and I to buy this lake place, it was like, well, we already had, you know, I've been saving up in my 401k, whatever, since I was, you know, 21 years old, if not sooner, I think, putting away in a Roth IRA. My late husband was putting away for retirement. Brent had been putting away for retirement. We were kind of looking at like, okay, what's that going to grow into by the time I'm 65, 30 years from now, whatever. Yep, we could keep investing in that. Or what if we invested in a lake place, invested a little bit less over here, and then we can actually enjoy it during those years and sell it at that point. By the time we retire, it'll be paid off. We can sell it, or we can, like, there's just so many options. And so it's like looking at those things, that looking outside of the box for things that you can enjoy.
That's literally where I'm at. So it's back to how this book came at just like the most perfect time. So that morning before I started reading the book, I had a Zillow notification pop up of a lake lot. So there's nothing on it except for like 500 some feet of shoreline. It's not buildable. There's electricity, but that's about it. And that popped up on Zillow, and it's like a stone's throw away from my parents' lake that they're on, that I spend every weekend in the summer at. And it's my favorite neck of the woods to be in. Like, that's where I go with every free second I have. So it's like, why would I not be looking for some sort of property up in that area? And the notification popped up on Zillow, and go home, go hunting, head out to the deer stand, come back in after. And I'm like, hey, Dad, take a look at this. This popped up today. What do you think? And he's like, well, let's go look at it. So we all load into his minivan and we go and drive and look at it. And he's like, I didn't get my lake place until 10 years ago. And he's retiring next year. He's like, imagine if we would have had this when you guys were little kids or in high school, even just like something to enjoy even longer than we've already enjoyed it now. And he's like, I think you should really consider buying this. And He's like, I can't help you in any way. I'm poor. You know that. But he's like, I can help you in maintenance with removing all the scrap metal that's on the property. And like, mm-hmm. but he's like, I think you really need to sit down and have conversation with your husband because this could be a great place for you guys.
Yeah. And I think that ultimately it's an asset that you can, yes, maybe you're not getting exactly what percentage of whatever. Mm-hmm. And of course, there's always hidden things and hidden in a, you know, and we aren't telling everyone just go and buy a property.
Right. Blah, 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 blah. It's not easy.
It's not easy, but yet it's not, you know, but it's just like looking at those things, like what are bucket list things on there? Mm-hmm. Like this type of property that you're looking at buying, like it's recreational for all of your hobbies.
Yes.
Like it just fits all of the boxes of the things you enjoy doing anyway.
And it has high speed internet.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you spend, yeah, just to, you know, where are you investing your time? Where are you investing your money? Where are
But the hard thing is like my husband doesn't have the die with the zero mentality and he will not read this book. So I'm like trying to like play it super loud on Spotify while I'm like in the house just hanging out. So he's like catching glimpses of it.
Well, and I think it's basically he challenges people to like, it makes you think about like what you're working toward
mm-hmm.
and what you're working, you know, what the plan is long term and what all of this is for, you know. And, you know, I shared with you, I saw an awesome quote last weekend and it was, you know, use your weekend or use your free time to build the life you want, not escape the life you have.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people, they work their 9-to-5 job, they do whatever on the weekends, they keep putting money away in a retirement account and they're just going to keep rinse and repeat until the government says they're old enough to retire. You know, you can start drawing from retirement accounts when you're 59 and a half. You can start like you have to start taking Social Security when you're 67, you know, so that's why like that's retirement age. But what if you could retire earlier?
Right.
Or what if you could, you know, what are things that you want to do? Or what if you take a little bit of a pause from this business and start doing something else?
Right.
Or whatever it might be.
Yeah. Like there's certain things I want to do. And I've decided like when I went full time with my business, I decided I just want to live like I'm retired anyway at 29. Like, why not?
There are so many times I call you and you're like, I'm out hunting, but I can text.
Yeah.
I'm like, yes. Awesome.
Like I really want to go on a Canadian bear hunting trip next spring.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, why not do that in my
20s? When are you going? Because we're codependent and I need to know.
Potentially in May.
Okay. Sounds good.
Working out the details next week.
Okay. Just need to know why you're not unreachable.
Yeah. I will be very unreachable over those 10 days. Oh, 10 days. But I know. But it's like, I want to do it now while I'm young because it was hard enough dragging a bear out of the woods in Todd County. Dragging one out of the mountains is going to be even worse. Mm-hmm. So I need to do it while my lung capacity is still good.
And that's exactly it. You're not going to go do a trip like that in your 50s.
No, and I want to go with my dad and he's not getting any younger either.
Mm-hmm. And whether it's, yeah, snowmobiling or whatever it might be, so many of these hobbies have a shelf life.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to go and do them. And again, like the party bus is the perfect example. Like party I am too old for this shit. Or, you know, like we're the Airbnb that we're getting ready. It's not going to be on Airbnb. It's going to be on Lodgify, bruffybungalow.com. Anyway, the top bunk, like every room sleeps like three. Well, one of the rooms is just a king bed, but one of the rooms, two of the rooms sleep four. And so legally we can do three heartbeats per bedroom, whatever. It's a whole thing. Well, one of the bunks is like a trundle bed underneath the bunk bed.
Okay.
And again, like it's perfect for a kid to sleep on for, you know, like if a family's there, like that's where you put a kid. Or again, if you're trying to cram a bachelorette party into a room and like you're trying to keep the price as low as possible. I mean, if it's $300 a night, like, hey, for $40 a night mm-hmm. per person, or what would that even be? Four times 12. No, that's way too much money. It'd be like $25 a person. $30 a person per night.
Trust you with the math because yes, anyway. I don't math.
Yes. Anyway, so $30 a person per night. Whatever. If you crammed, you know, mm-hmm. if you filled it up. Like, but who's getting that and who's getting like the nice mattress? But at some point, like someone doesn't care. Like someone right. will whatever.
Enough of those jello shots on the party bus. You don't care where you're sleeping.
Exactly. But like I went to a bachelorette party 10 years ago, and it was my cousin's bachelorette party, and it was at the Fauché, the W Fauché, whatever.
That's a nice hotel.
It's a nice hotel. But like, I think I was 24 years old and me and my other cousin went, and it was, you know, my cousin and her friends, and they were at a different they were all like my age now. They all like got their own room because they were moms. Most of them were. And like mm-hmm. they want, and I get it now. But 10 years ago, I'm like, why aren't we putting four people in a room? Like, yeah. I mean, it was like rooms at the time were like $250, which now they'd be like $400. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, I could not fathom that people were voluntarily like getting a king bed on their own. And now I'm like, I would totally do that.
It's like, the only way I'm going anywhere.
The only way I'm going anywhere is like, I want time alone. I mean, within reason, right?
Yeah.
Like there's, I feel like I'm the person who's like, it's either this or this. Like there's no in between. Like I'm either like cramming it so that I can save money or like if I'm going to spend this much, oh, it's going to be good.
Yeah,
like,
better
I'm
be gonna, luxurious.
Well, and I think another huge point of this book is you spend so much time in your 20s or whatever, trading your time for money. And the older I'm getting, the more established I am in my career, the better my businesses are doing, whatever. I am spending money to get more time back.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I am over anybody judging me for anything whatsoever. But like, I mean, Kenzie and Tessa coming tomorrow. They come every other Tuesday to clean my house. The two of them can get so much done. It would take me an entire day or mm-hmm. time on the weekend, or my husband and I would be fighting about it. Like, and it would just be stressful. Guess what? Like, I have a house cleaner and I don't feel bad about it. To me, I am trading my money for time.
Yep.
And I get more time with my kids because of that, whatever it might be. And it's just, what are those things that make you more enjoyable? One thing that Brent and I were laughing at, like, I do a lot of the grocery shopping at Aldi, but like, I got to get in the right mindset. I am not bringing my children with me. Like, it is stressful.
So stressful. I have to wear noise canceling headphones there because I get overwhelmed.
I went the Saturday morning before Thanksgiving at like 8 a.m. thinking, no. Dumbest. I told him, I'm like, I can't even describe what it was like. It was so crowded. It was so stressful. It was so.
It's the new Black Friday.
It's the new. Yeah. Anyway, like Saturday morning at Aldi. Like, I can't do it now because I have the work schedule that I have where I make my own schedule. Like, I will go at like 2 p.m. Like, my favorite thing now is I go to Orange Theory, my workout, like boutique gym at 3 p.m. gets done at 4. I go to the Aldi right next door. So not the Sartell one, but the Waite Park one.
Yep.
Get everything, pick up my kids from daycare by 5. And again, like, I am going grocery shopping and working out. I do that one day a week while my kids are at daycare. But again, the amount of time I'm able to enjoy it. So it's like, if I can't go under those circumstances, I'm going to Coburn's. I'm going to the expensive grocery store. And yep. Brent like was laughing at me, but he totally gets it. I'm like, if I have my kids with me, nope, I'm going to the place where it's more expensive, but they have little kids shopping carts. Yep. And it's just a more enjoyable experience. Yep. I'm like, you know what? I'm not at the stage of my life where we can have all these vacations. Like, somehow that dumbass thinks that we're going to go to like Australia next summer, like the four of us. I'm like, where is this money?
He's from? Just going to move whatever. Your family there at some exactly. point.
But like, my thing is, I love traveling and I love whatever, but at this point in my life right now with my kids, if I can spend a little bit extra every month on making my current life a little easier, a little more enjoyable, that's where I'm at right now.
Yep.
Whereas, you know, when you're saving up for your first house, or if you're saving up for a vacation, or if you're doing, you know, something, like, there's no right or wrong. Like, that might be like, hey, pinch pennies where you can so that you can save up for the big things. Well, right now, like, we're trying to get pregnant, fertility treatments, shit like that. Like, I'm not planning some big vacation in mm-hmm. the next couple of years, because watch, the minute we book that trip, I'll get pregnant. Like,
or Brent will break his other ankle.
Or Brent will break his other ankle. Like, we're just, it's not our turn in life to like travel and stuff like that.
Well,
like,
and the travel you want to do doesn't have the shelf life. You're exactly. not doing the extreme sports.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's like, for me right now, I'm not going to just keep like scrimping away day-to-day life for like a someday trip, whatever. I'm like, you know what? We're not going on a trip like that in a couple of years. Like, we'll do a weekend away here and there. We've got our lake place, like, whatever. Or we rent that up place out and go to Nashville or something for a weekend, like, if we were to do something. And then, yep, I'm going to spend my money on making my day-to-day life easier and more enjoyable.
Yep.
That means getting my car detailed. That means getting my oil change at Valvoline Instant Oil Change instead of the place where I have to make an appointment a month ahead of time and I have commitment issues, so I don't want to do that. So I'm going to say pay the extra $30 to have the convenience of getting it changed when I want it. Like, that's my die with zero mentality.
That's your die with... Speaking of the dies... Okay, so for all the listeners, was it Saturday you texted me when I was hunting? And like, all the message said was, die with zero mentality. I'm going to Menards. Just, it's completely... This mentality has consumed our lives. Thanks to the book club.
Zero, I'm going to Menards. Oh, boy. But literally, I'm like, but I'm actually going to die with zero because this was like... Yeah, we bought a lot of shit for the house. Like, we needed, I don't even know what we needed. We needed, like, a curtain rod, and we needed a trash can, and we needed a, like, just, I'm like, we're literally going to actually die with zero because I'm spending all my money.
On Black Friday, you get the barrage of Black Friday emails, and I had one come in for Crocs, and I've been wanting a pair of fur-lined Crocs for, like, 5 years now, but I just keep refusing to buy them, and they had a Black Friday sale on it, and as I clicked purchase on them, I said, die with zero mentality, baby.
Die with zero mentality. Can't take it with you. Can't take it with you. And really, like, and that's not what he means. Like, no, that's not what the book is.
But then I was also thinking, it's like, for 5 years, I could have been enjoying these Crocs. And I wasn't. My feet were cold.
Exactly.
And full of snow.
Yeah.
And this year, they won't be.
And this year, they won't be. And that's where it's like, if it's something like a big purchase that you're going to enjoy over time, like, yeah.
Die with zero mentality.
Die with zero mentality. All right. Thanks, guys, for listening. Stay tuned for the next episode.